Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 31 of Roll 'em If You Got 'em. I am Carl, and as usual, joined here with Dakota.
Hey, guys.
And today we are going to go over the things that we didn't bring to TSL and kind of why we didn't bring them. For anyone who doesn't know, TSL is the Team Super League tournament ran by 3Sales Gaming. Our team is myself, Dakota, Bob, and Chris from Sunday Slaughter. And so we're just going to go over just kind of the things that we didn't bring, and then hopefully after the season have an episode with all four of us talking about kind of how the season went and that sort of stuff. So, Dakota, what is the first thing that you did not bring to TSL?
All right, the first thing, kind of going from like least amount of content to the most, the first thing I didn't bring Renly 2. So I'm calling him out as a specific commander. I brought Baratheons. I specifically didn't bring Renly 2. There's been, seems to be a lot of discussion about Renly 2 being one of the better Renly side commanders, because he can counter Night's Watch pretty well, because you can, once his unit dies, you can resurrect him in a free unit. But, you know, I just didn't bring him. I'm not a huge fan of his cards, and in my game plan, it was really about Carl, our captain, not pairing me with Night's Watch, straight up. So I didn't really build to play against Night's Watch. I just kind of built a couple lists, and I'm going to just hope it goes well.
Yeah, I did my best to dive on that Night's Watch grenade for you guys. I didn't do it on purpose. It kept happening accidentally. I really wanted to give him to you guys. I didn't want him.
It was pretty even though, wasn't it? I know I have them once. I think Bob had them once.
I think so.
I think it's pretty even.
I think Chris got out without Night's Watch.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yeah, and then I have two Night's Watch, two Targs.
Gotcha.
And a Lannister. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I didn't bring, with probably running Targaryens for it. Belwa's commander. Now, the first and foremost reason for not bringing him is I'm pretty sure his tactics cards are incorrect, the ones that we have released. His expert parry, when a friendly cav or infantry unit would be destroyed by a melee attack for each blocked hit, suffers one hit if the defender is Belwa's unit, -1 to defensive dice rolls. The trigger's got to be wrong. We may have even heard somewhere that it is wrong, and it's mm-hmm. We're still waiting for that update. But basically, if you bring Belwa's commander, 3 out of your 10 tactic cards in the Targaryen deck require units to be destroyed to use them. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not gonna bring a commander where I have to lose 6 units to use some tactics cards, because it's probably not going to go well for me. There was kind of a last minute update from George, the tournament organizer, to remedy these Belwa's cards. I didn't even see that until after list submission, and I certainly didn't have time to test them or anything with whatever he updated the expert parry to. But yeah, I didn't bring Belwa's because his card is still incorrect.
Yeah, Belwa's definitely could be cool, but yeah, 6 of 20 cards being when you die, that's not a great game plan unless you're bringing a bunch of creepmen.
But even then, what else are you bringing?
Right, yeah. What are you bringing?
And I love that he has Taunt, because Taunt is really good now.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty semi-reliable. He has Hardened, so you can put him in a unit that's not... you don't have to put him in Pikeman, basically.
No.
You can put him in something else and get some survivability out of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Harden might be one of the best abilities, I think, right now in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you put him in Pikeman, it's just another reason to not attack Pikeman, which people already don't really attack Pikeman, so... What else did you not bring?
So the next thing, it's kind of more of a funny, I would say it's funny, but so I think with this building here in 1.7, you need to be more like balanced, kind of combined arms where you have like infantry, ranged, and cavalry. But in my list, neither of them have a ranged unit. I looked at them, I've used them before, and I said, you know what? I'm not gonna bring a ranged unit. I suck at using a ranged unit. I think what's really available to Baratheons in the Stormcrow, you know, you have Stormcrow archers or Lightbringers with Stannis. I think Lightbringers are a little too expensive for what they do. Stormcrow archers aren't bad, but then it turns into the fact sometimes where like you're in a game and you're like, oh, I need to use my action to just turn my bowman because people are avoiding them. And sometimes it gets really hard and annoying. And for me, I'd rather just be like, not even have to deal with that extra annoyance and just like go fight. And then kind of also with that, with the changes to terrain rules, like I think ranged units really, other than a couple of the Night's Watch things and like Stark Bowmen, can get completely neutered by forest. Because you know, you throw like one or two forests down, and then it's just like, okay, my ranged units can't go to that side of the board because they're not going to be able to shoot at anything. You just have to stay inside that forest and you're safe, even if you're in range. And it makes it harder. That's just one of the reasons I avoided actually putting them in list was, you know, I'm not going to use them well, and they're kind of getting, you know, kind of having issues with the terrain rules.
Yeah, I remember talking about this before, during like when we were still trying out lists and testing things. And Dakota's like, he's like, flat out, I just don't use them right. He's like, every time I use them, I screw it up and I get super annoyed. And he's like, I'm just not gonna bring any ranged. I was like, okay, like you do you. But, I mean,
Yeah,
that's
well,
a
like,
that's like a level of self-observation there where you're like, you don't know, I suck at this. I'm just not gonna put myself through it.
thing is, I wouldn't say I necessarily suck at it. I usually feel like if you bring Bowman, you put like an extra, you have to like focus on using them correctly. And I'm not gonna say that in like obviously you want to use them correctly, but
Like,
you know, there's
right.
some builds where you're like, all right, I'm gonna bring Braun, I'm gonna put him in a Bowman, I'm gonna like jump on the bags, do an attack. And then like use one of my NCUs, moves off the bags, like where you can like put like three shots around on your bowman, but like I hate having to like put that much focus and game plan on like that one unit also.
Right.
Because it's sometimes not even a great unit, because you could roll poorly with your like Stormcrow archers and not do anything. And it's like, okay, I don't want to put like that many actions to like have this kind of crap. Like this decent unit, not do a lot.
Right.
So I
All
have to
right.
think of
Yeah. Duh. Like, hey, you do you. You're 1-0, right? So it's worked
I am
out.
one now, yeah.
See? Okay. The next thing I didn't bring is Mother of Dragons. I am the only Targaryen player in Division 2 to not bring Mother of Dragons, so I'm really glad I didn't bring her. But my issue with Maud is the list builds were just boring. I like when you start an army and more than 50% of it is already made, like you're not gonna get a lot of versatility. Maybe versatility is not the right word. You're of variations amongst those lists. I mean, pretty much everyone seems to be running Maud in either Pikeman or Blackguard, 3 NCUs. You know, some people have Waldir, some people don't. Like, and that's just I don't I've always had a problem running the things that other people are running. And granted, we didn't know what people were gonna run prior to this, but I think everyone had pretty strong feelings we were gonna see a lot of Mothers of Dragons in TSO. So I just didn't go that route. I didn't want to.
Yeah, that was definitely one thing where it's like, yep, we're gonna have to fight that a lot. Yeah, you know, I feel like I'm the same way where it's like I don't want to bring something that everybody else is bringing, because then it just, I don't know, to me it's boring and it's not creative and it's not what we're trying to do, I don't think.
Like last season of TSL, like I didn't bring Harma. Obviously, Harma was probably the best competitive free folk commander, and I was like, I just don't want to. It's like I have more fun with some other stuff, so yeah. But yep, I didn't bring mod.
All right, so the next thing for me, I think our next kind of two each we're going to talk about are faction choices. So for me, one faction choice. So I, you know, IRL, I play really two factions. I play Starks and Baratheons, and I mean, I can throw a neutral force together. So I didn't bring Starks. Taking a look at why I didn't bring Starks, there's probably like a couple points. I think everybody knows like their basic deck is not good. Their basic deck, it's so weird and it doesn't do a lot. I think they have some cool unit options with like everything for the Stark seems like it's pointed at like 6 points, which is really good. Their own cav kind of sucks, but I think you can do some pretty creative stuff, but there's only like one or two creative things you can actually do with Starks. So like I was like looking at Starks a little bit, like not a whole bunch because they're kind of weak, you know, at that tactics deck. But I did end up throwing a couple like Stark lists together. One of them would be like Roderick and She-Bears. She-Bears with a Mormont Vet, a basic Sworn Sword, a Hedge Knight, Catelyn, Sansa. And then I still have 7 points left because I think Roderick has some really cool and awesome cards. And he could almost carry a game on his own with like how this list plays out, because you basically throw out a ton of tokens. Everything except for Sworn Swords can put down tokens. You have 7 free points. You could bring like 2 units of Hedge Knights with that extra 7. You could bring a Bowman with a Cranium Warden for that Overwatch. You could bring a Berserker with a Mormont Vet or a She-Bear with a Mormont Vet. You know, you can just, you know, kind of go all in on these builds, and I think that could be good. I think it works decently well with like their basic deck. But at the same time, like this is the like one list that I actually found super interesting with Starks. Everything else, I'm just like, they're not very good. It just doesn't work with the tactics deck because it sucks, where it's not really adding much. So kind of avoided Starks. I mean, I think we all know that they have some problems right now, but
yeah. I mean, they were due, but...
I feel like they... I know everybody was like, they don't care that Starks were nerfed that much, but at the same time, like, somebody that owns them, and it's just like, man, they really suck, and they're unplayable. It's just like, that sucks. Right.
Like, if that's all you owned...
Yeah, if that's all I owned, I think I'd be pretty upset. Like, I don't know. I'm not gonna say Starks are, like, terrible and unplayable. It's just, they're not as good. They're just clearly not as good as everybody else. Which I get it. Like, yeah, they were overtuned because of a couple things in the last version. And then they basically took away those couple things and then took away everything else. And it's just like, okay, cool guys. Well, you know, it is what it is.
Well, while on the subject of clearly not as good as everyone else, I did not bring Free Folk. Not only did I not bring Free Folk, but not a single person brought Free Folk to TSL. Right? There was there was 0 Free Folk players.
In Division 2 or just in general?
No, in general.
Wow.
Yeah, there's not a... I'm pretty sure you're going over the... Because I was watching the video by the stats guys, and they were going over list and stuff. There's not a single Free Folk player. I think part of that is that they... Like, their tactics deck is not bad. Their tactics deck is actually pretty good. It's definitely a lot of fun to use, too. But I think they're very, very one-dimensional at Commander. Mm-hmm. You have a solid choice of Mance Raider, who gives you that nice morale bubble, and then now with Skin Changers, we've talked about this before, you get a couple units of skin-changing Raiders running around the table with a morale of a 3, you know, like... There's some pretty cool stuff there. Mance has some nice control options. Outside of Mance Raider, combined with the nerf to Giants and Mammoths, Free Folk don't seem to have a lot to offer.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was like last minute we were waiting on Chris to make list choice because he was basically between the 5 factions that were left.
Mm-hmm.
Between the 3 that we had already picked, and he was like Free Folk, neutrals, Lannisters, you know, maybe he wants to try a game with Starks one day, and we're like, Chris, let's do tomorrow, like ultimately he went Lannisters. But yeah, I don't know, I haven't I think I've played one game. I think I've played three games with New Free Folk. One has not been Mance. I don't even remember what it was, but I just didn't see like anything that really jumped out to me. Harm is interesting because she's like, what do you call it? She's like a Free Folk Targaryens now. She has like a fainting maneuver, swift reposition, and hit and run. So yeah, I don't know, but I didn't bring Free Folk, and I thought about it. I was pretty close at one point, but at the same time, I was like, I've always tried to be a Targaryen loyalist, but it was obviously very difficult to do that in 1.6. And I was like, now I actually have the chance, I think, to competitively play Targaryen, so I wanted to go Targaryens.
Yeah, no, and I think that's understandable too. But yeah, like for me, I think it's weird that Free Folk weren't taken at all. I don't think Free Folk are that bad. I mean, I think they're on par. Really, it's like I feel like the top two are obviously like Night's Watch Targs. They're like the two best, I think, clearly. And then you have like this group of neutrals, or Lannisters are probably three in like a weird spot where like the bottom ones can kind of compete, where the top ones can generally beat them. But like really, I think like neutrals, Baratheons, Free Folk. Oh, what else? Those guys are pretty close. I should just say, I'll say those three. I think they're all pretty close where they can all compete together and play against each other. Or Greyjoys too, even. You know, they're all about the same level. So I was surprised that none of the Free Folk were taken. I mean, I've played against Free Folk twice. Once was against you used Mance, and it was cool. Like it was actually cool. Like I think you beat me, but it was cool to watch you beat me because you're just like you're doing like stuff. I think it's like it looks like you're like an actual like commanding your army where you're like I want you to do this cool thing, and then they go and do that cool thing, and
Right, it's
it
not
was cool.
just in six spam. Oh, you're gonna move? Here's three wounds. Oh, you're gonna move again? Here's three more. Like,
Or you had to be like, oh, I need to make a decision if I use this ability over here or over there. You know, it seemed, I don't know, it seemed like there were so many options. And the other game I played was against Tormund, which he seemed decent, but you could definitely like he definitely just wasn't as good as Mance. And you know, that's kind of how I think it shakes out, is you have Mance and then you have stuff not as good as Mance. So but yeah, but for me, super surprised that there's no Free Folk at all in TSL.
yeah, I didn't think they would get smacked quite that hard.
No, you feel like there'd be a couple people that are like Free Folk loyalists that are like, I'm bringing them, but I think it turns into almost like the nature of TSL where you have to pick four factions and with between your teammates and then you run them. So obviously, I think always like the one and number one and two factions are taken, and then mostly like Lannisters are taken, and then there's that one faction where it's like, well, who wants to take what? And you always have those dumbass Baratheon players that are like, well, I'm gonna take Baratheon still. And you're like, dude, they suck. But which I'm one of them, so
Yes, you are.
I wanted for me for taking Baratheons, it was more like we're not as bad as we were play wise.
Your rally cry.
We're kind of decent,
We're
yeah.
better than we were.
We're better than we were. And the thing too, for I guess for me also, I played so many games with Baratheons before we had to submit list where I was like, I only know how to play them. I haven't played anything else. I've played these dudes. So,
Right.
but yeah. All right. So for me now, the last thing I should say I didn't bring is I did not bring a Stannis side army. And
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that the Stannis side is way more popular than the Renly side.
Seems
But
that way. Seems like every Baratheon game you watch, there's like two Dragonstone nobles out there.
yeah. So I didn't bring a Stannis side. First off, you know, you say in the two Dragonstone nobles, I don't like that list. I think it's like, yeah, you're committing to getting activations, but like two of them can auto die to a lot of things. Like, yeah, nobles have 2+ armor, 3 morale. They have 3 wounds though. I've had Dragonstone nobles die to Greyjoy Bowmen after 2 shots because they've crit failed a panic test and like took a wound on an attack. You know, it's just like, going back, didn't bring a Stannis side. I honestly think competitively, Stannis side isn't as good as Renly side. I think one of the things that makes Baratheons good is being able to like have the army last until later in the game because usually like early game, your opponent is going to like throw all their tricks out there where they're like playing tactics cards like mad and like they're making, you know, trying to make plays. But if you just don't die and you can like heal or defend a bunch and you can get your army to late game, I feel like you're just in a lot better spot. Where Stannicide, he has no healing. Like the only thing I can think of off the top of my head that you can bring for healing on the Stannicide is Tycho, which is like a once a game heal. For me, I'd rather just bring that like consistent healing of like reloading up my dudes. Like, oh, you did a big attack on some wardens that you used two tactics cards for and whatever. Cool, I'm going to just heal them my next activation with something. Like, I'm going to let them stay in the fight as long as possible to make you have to deal with that 5-point unit that's not going to do anything else other than sit there. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Like, Stannicide has a ton of cool options, but he's got a, like a lot of things like his new units. I don't think there are any of them are that great. Like, the Kingsmen are cool. They're probably the best of the three new units. But other than that, you're still kind of bringing the old basic stuff. And I think, like, you know, NCU-wise, Stannicide isn't as good as the Renly side. Units, they're basically the same. You're going to be bringing the same units, so... I don't know, that's kind of why I didn't bring them. I just didn't feel like there was a good spot to bring Stannis right now.
All right. Well, for my final what I didn't bring, I have about the exact opposite way of looking at it. I didn't bring Jorah, and I wanted to very, very, very badly. I almost did. Like, it was kind of a last-minute call between Jorah and Drogo. My Dario list, I felt like I had ironed out basically as soon as I think I only made the list once. I don't think I tweaked my Dario list. I made that list and was like, oh yeah, this is my list. Like, I like this one. And then for my second list, I didn't bring Jorah, and he has some good stuff. Like, he his commander has ambush, which is, you know, enemies charged in the flank or rear become panicked and weakened. And then he also has stubborn tenacity. Each time they pass panic test, enemy engaged with them suffers one wound. And that's not in order. So if you can find a way to get his unit to pass a couple of panic tests while engaged with an enemy, you're going to probably restore a few wounds, since all of the cav options are 5 points or 5 morale. I mean, his tactics deck, I like very much. He has Marshal, an unengaged friendly cavalry unit activates. Once his turn, it may perform, instead of performing the maneuver action, it can restore 3 wounds and remove a condition token. That's just genuinely good on account of Targaryens don't have a lot of access to heals. I mean, they have Illyrio. Illyrio is a replace effect, so you know, you're kind of losing out to get that heal. Most of the time there. As long as it's Jorah Mormont's unit. Your opponent then may attach Betrayal to one of your friendly combat units until the end of the game. While attached, each time that unit activates, they suffer 1 wound. When they are destroyed, your opponent gains 1 victory point. So maybe if I played this at the beginning of the game, you would attach it. If you're smart, you're going to attach it to whatever my most offensive unit is, because that's the one that I'm going to, you know, have in the battle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless I'm running something like Freedmen or whatever, where they could like just auto die by not having a unit in range. But yeah, the betrayal card, and though we talk about, because, well, I guess 2 free points a game, and then at worst you're giving up 2 points, so like kind of at worst that card's a wash. And then opportunist, when a friendly is performing melee attack for an attack dice, if defender has not activated, reroll any attack dice, gain precision or vicious. If the attacker Jorah Mormont unit, gain both instead. Precision, vicious, rerolls if you haven't activated. So if I take the combat zone to start the round or something, like, once again, really good card. And then his fourth card, which you swap out with Overrun, which sounds like a big negative, but with Overrun being harder to pull off now, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like the game I played last night, had Overrun been the old Overrun, I would have been in a much better place that game. But the way the units were lined up, I couldn't shift to the other side of the unit to line up my Overrun, and it was something I was kind of counting on. Whatever. It sort of screwed me not being able to play Overrun. So by losing Overrun for Fainting Maneuver, like that's a win for sure. Which Fainting Maneuver, successfully charge, you get to place them in the flank of an enemy. If you charge the flank, you get to place them in the rear. Like that's huge. And yes, I was very, very close to bringing Jorah Commander, and I didn't. That list that he was in currently, well, I hadn't ironed out NCUs because I was still flirting with NCU choice, but yeah, I didn't bring Jorah. I really, really wanted to. And there's actually not a lot of Jorah in the tournament. I don't remember how much, but the majority of Targs are Drogo and Maud.
Yeah, I think that though turns into is like Targs have a lot of really good options. I mean, like they have some really efficient units for what they got, and like yeah, throwing Jorah in there, yeah, I think it make. I mean, I think he's definitely a top three commander for him, with what his cards do. He's really good. Well, if not top four, I think Dario is probably better, but you know, Maud, Drogo, Dario, Jorah. I mean, I think those are really who you're looking at. I don't know if I could be like, oh yeah, there's four Baratheon commanders where I'm like super excited about to bring that are that good.
Yeah, I'm not overly familiar with all the Baratheon stuff, but yeah, you pretty much see a lot of Renly 1 and Eldon, right?
No, I
Or Renly
brought
2.
I think it's there's quite a bit of Eldon. Eldon's the most picked. I'm not sure on the second most. I think
Probably
it's Renly.
Stannis 1.
It's either like Renly 2 or Stannis 1. I mean, Stannis 1 isn't terrible, but then it turns into, you know, it's kind of his downfalls of Stannis side, I think.
The Stannis one, I feel like, always turns into, do I have tactical approach?
Yeah.
Because that just puts out a crazy amount of damage.
And but like yeah, you know, it just and it's like the play style too, where it's like I need to be defending and lasting longer. Well, I can't do that if I bleed my own wounds or don't heal.
True, true. Yeah, that's one thing we kept talking about going over Dakota's list builds prior to this, is we kept using the phrase, I kept using the phrase at least, like, you got to drag your opponent into the deep end with Baratheons. Like, you have to find a way to keep the score tied, basically, until rounds 4, 5, maybe 6. I don't know if I've seen a game go 6 rounds yet in 1.7, but then again, I've played Targs pretty much the whole time, so.
My did the my first game did, but it was Baratheon versus Baratheon. So it
Oh,
obviously it
yes.
went six.
So you both had flotation devices on while dragging each other into the deep end.
Yes, basically. It was a interesting game, to say the least. But yeah, I
Right.
mean, yeah, it's like what tricks, you know, all the factions have available to them. And I think it really actually kind of determines the playstyles more. Like Targs, I think they can now, they're just able to be super aggressive and do a lot of things where they have a lot of actions and extra actions, and like they're doing a lot of attacking and killing. Like I'm not gonna say anything about Night's Watch. We're pass over them. You know, it just
That's where my train of thought was going to,
it,
and I was like, I just don't want to. It's
I
too
mean,
early to
like,
stress myself out for the whole day.
and even like the Lannister games we've seen, all of them, it's like the most of their damage they're doing right now is just panic damage, which
Yeah.
I guess it's thematic, but not thematic at the same time. I mean, they got some issues, or an issue, I think. But I mean, like, they're playing into, like, really what they should be doing, you know, that panic control-y type of stuff.
Yeah, but a certain line, like, how much panic is too much? Like, if you're causing...
If you're only doing damage versus through panic, there's definitely a problem.
Yeah. We played one game with Clegane cloaks, and I had Dakota take 15 panic tests one round.
Yeah.
10 of them were caused by a single unit, and it's like, okay, this is insane.
Yeah.
But anyhow, hey, number 5. I didn't bring Lannisters, guys.
Right.
Well, I think that's all I got for things that I didn't bring. I'm assuming we'll probably have some more episodes on TSL content after the season. We'd like to have an episode with Bob and Chris on just kind of how the team did. And then an episode looking at the body of TSL kind of as a whole, once we sort of see how things shake out. Because TSL is very interesting in the way that we didn't get the 1.7 update until, like, right before. So there was no, like, oh, this is, you know, the meta kind of thing. A lot of people were left to their own devices for list building, which I really like. I think it helped create some creativity and diversity amongst list.
Some of the list.
Some of the list, yes. And I'm a fan of that, so.
Yeah, no, I agree with it. Kind of getting sprung on us. It's like, all right, we need to play some games quickly to figure out what we're running. And it turns into a good time. And I like the, I mean, yeah. And the fact, too, it's not even like Swiss pairing. You know, you just do whatever pairings for your team.
Yeah, there was a kind of cool pairing method we can go over some other time.
Yeah, we'll talk about that some other time.
All right, well, thank you, everyone, for joining us for episode 31. Roll them if you got them. And hope you guys enjoy them. We'll see you later.
Thanks for joining us. See you guys.